Am I on? Let's hope so. In the 15th chapter of Luke, Jesus comes among us today to tell us a story. The tax collectors and sinners were all crowding in to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and scribes began murmuring their disapproval. This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them. He answered them with this story. There was once a man who had two sons, and the younger said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the property." So he divided his estate between them. A few days later, the younger son turned the whole of his share into cash, left home for a distant country where he squandered it all in dissolute living. He'd spent it all when a severe famine came to that country and he began to be in need. So he went and attached himself to one of the local landowners who sent him on his farm to mind the pigs. He would have been glad to fill his belly with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. Then he came to his senses. "How many of my father's hired servants have more food than they can eat?" he asked. "And here am I, starving to death. I will go at once to my father and say to him, 'Father, I've sinned against God and against you. I'm no longer fit to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.'" So he set out for his father's house, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and his heart went out to him. He ran to meet him, flung his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said, "Father, I've sinned against God and against you. I'm no longer fit to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, fetch a robe, the best we have, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us celebrate with a feast. For this son of mine was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, and now he's been found." And the festivities began. Now the elder son had been out on the farm, and on his way back, as he approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what it meant. The servant told him, "Your brother has come home, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound." His father came out and pleaded with him, but he retorted, "You know I've slaved for you all these years. I never once disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me so much as a kid to celebrate with my friends. But now this son of yours, now that he's running up and turns up, after running through all the money with his women, you kill the fatted calf for him?" "My boy," said the father, "you're always with me, and everything I have is yours. How could we fail to celebrate this happy day? Your brother here was dead and has come back to life. He was lost and has been found." This is the gospel of the Lord. Feel like maestro. In the name of Jesus, amen. A couple weeks ago, I shared a sermon in which the glimpse we got into the heart of God was Jesus talking about a mother hen who would love and protect her children. That beautiful mother love was an entree into who God is for us. Today, it is the Father to whom we pay our attention. Philip in the Gospel of John said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." And Jesus said, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." How often in our lives with Philip, we long for God. We long to come home. Show us the Father, and we'll be satisfied. So this story got me thinking today about fathers, about the father who was prodigal, extravagant. I think of Jeremy Richman, whose daughter Aviel was killed at the Sandy Hook massacre 7 years ago. Started a foundation for his baby and took his life. I think of military parents, fathers today, who surprise their children. You see it on Good Morning America, in the classroom or at Christmas. The child, the father. And I'm thinking a lot of fathers these days. My father is 100 years old. And on Thursdays at his apartment, we have dinner together. And as I thought and prayed about this story and this sermon today, at dinner with my father, I said to him, "So you were the baby of 10. Tell me about your father." And he did. The songs they sang, what he learned from his father. Because we're this side of heaven, wasn't all perfect. It never is. I want you to think about your father, or if that's difficult, a father figure, or a mentor, or someone in your life. As we dig into this story today of the prodigal father. The first liturgy that I shared the Sunday after I was elected the bishop in the Metropolitan New York Synod was at the Franklin Avenue shelter, men's shelter in the South Bronx. Our South Bronx congregation sponsored that service every Sunday evening. And it was Father's Day. And so sometime during the service, before the prayers, I simply said, "How many of you here are fathers?" Quite a few were. Some got up and walked out. I said, "Can we pray for your babies and their mothers this morning?" And the prayers went on and on. If you want to know something of the heart of God, today Jesus says, "Look at the Father." "This is your heavenly Father," Jesus tells us, as he spins a tale of family betrayal and for faithfulness in the 15th chapter of Luke. The foolish father, the prodigal lover of his children, who goes flying down the dusty road, almost doing a half gainer as he leaps over the chickens, arms outstretched to the son who'd shown him up for a fool. This flies in the face of the wisdom and sense of justice in this world. The prodigal son, in effect telling Daddy Dearest to drop dead, walks away from his father, clutching his inheritance, trotting in footsteps made by Adam and Eve and you and me. In the beginning, Adam too wanted all of his inheritance, the image of God, and squandered it on a prodigal attempt to be his own God. So the rejected father stands brokenhearted, watching his beloved son walk down the road away from him, maybe forever. I think we know, too, the lostness of being a parent. But we know how to deal with such insolence in our enlightened age. Let him try to come back. See if I'll ever speak to him again. Never mind letting him in my door. In this world, if you do this, you get that. Justice. The Hebrew word is mishpat. Erect more and bigger jails and put more and more children of God in them. Send in the army to show we mean business. Whisper capital punishment or forget about being elected. In a strict sense, they're right. When I saw the rock that crashed through the window of the house when we were robbed, I said, let me get my hands on the creep. We live in an age of fatherless chaos. In our time, the authority and love of fathers, mothers, generations, it's everyone for themselves now. We are the measure of all things, each one of us. And the whole world comes at us through our devices. There are billions of choices, and yet we are more alone and more afraid than we've ever been. Is it any wonder? And justice now is this. Here comes the kid. He wants to come home. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Don't get mad, get even. You get what you pay for. He made his bed, let him lie in it. Yes, we know about justice, don't we? So here comes Junior wanting back in again. He'll get his mishpat. When a family member in a Jewish village has disgraced his father, then he must run a gauntlet of villagers and grovel and beg to be let back into the good graces of the old man. But the father, in what the theologian Paul Tillich calls holy waste, holy extravagance, keeps throwing away, lavishing all of his love on this wastrel son. Make no mistake about it, this is a public humiliation. No self-respecting Jewish father whose pride has been injured would lose face by going out to the one who's walked out on him and put him to shame. Let him come crawling home through the gauntlet of fellow jeering villagers. Let this be an example. Let the father's honor be restored. Let justice be done. Let him beg his father on hands and knees. Let him eat dust. Mishpat. Justice. There goes the prodigal father, arms flying out, now around the boy, lifting up his son. Justice? The term lifting up his son has special meaning in the Bible. It points us to what St. Paul calls the folly of the cross. The Son of Man is lifted up on the cross in agony, lifted up, dare we say it, by the Father. This lifting up, this ultimate disgrace, this is the very wisdom and love of the Father. For the love of the prodigal father so overflows that he will even squander away his own son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever lives and believes in him should not perish, but live forever. Jesus said, I, when I am lifted up, will draw all people to myself. This wastrel father cannot contain his love. He runs after both sons, doesn't he? I once wrote a sermon called In Defense of the Elder Son. As the oldest of five, I've been to that movie. He runs after both his sons. We are all lifted up in a wave of joy. No wake, but a feast. No electric chair, but life by drowning in holy baptism. No humiliation, but honor. But this father is not senile. He knows full well where his son has been and where we have been as we've squandered our own inheritance. The son came to himself when he bottomed out. I think especially today of those children of God who live one day at a time, who have experienced the beginning of the path home in the pig pen. I think of each of us and those times when we've been able to start again, when someone has forgiven us when someone has welcomed us back. You know, the son got in the pig pen for two reasons. The first was his own choices. He made bad choices. It's on him. But the second is there was a famine. He did nothing to cause that, and that is our lives. We make our choices. Sometimes they're not the best, but also things happen. Life can be hard. In the midst of all of it stands the open arms of the Father. He's heard the cry of his own lifted up son on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He's heard the agony of fathers in a shelter in the Bronx and their mothers and children. He knows what our pig pens look like. For this my son was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, and now he's been found. One night when I was a boy, I woke up in the middle of the night, thunder and lightning crashing, and found myself at the window, you know, where you kind of don't know where you are, and you're just shocked, and I'm at the window, and I'm crying, and I felt a hand on my shoulder. And then I heard my father's voice. Stephen, when I'm in the room with you, don't be afraid. In our Father's house are many rooms. I go there to prepare a place for you, home, so that where I am, there you may be also. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and I give unto them eternal life, and no one can pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no one can pluck them, you and me, out of my Father's hand. In our baptism, our room, our home, was prepared and ready and is ready for us. My father and my mother used to sing of that love when they sang us to bed. This is one of the songs. Children of the Heavenly Father, safely in his bosom gather, nestling bird nor star in heaven, such a refuge e'er was given. We ask with Thomas, Lord, show us the Father. Jesus tells us the story of the prodigal father waiting to welcome us. The cross, waiting to welcome us. At the altar, we taste and see. Amen.